to Clickwire, issue 321. The first story is in the research department, and it's HCPs start to warm up to mHealth devices. This is from HealthLink Dimensions, and it's an infographic and report that they published. Some research from HealthLink Dimensions, the publishers of UpToDate, shows that physicians are starting to warm up to mHealth devices for patients. In fact, over 91% think this technology could empower patients to make improvements in their own health. And 87% of the respondents of their study felt that wearable devices may have benefits for care, closely related to the 91% one would think. 75.5% see potential for monitoring chronic conditions. So HCPs are starting to see these devices, these consumer devices, as something useful for their patients. This is an interesting shift as HCPs begin to embrace mHealth devices for their patients. Some things change more slowly, however, and email is definitely one of them. In this report, they had a section on mHealth, and they had a section on how they want to be communicated to, and email won. HCPs in 2018 are still email-driven, although almost a third are now using social media for professional purposes. So 73% prefer email to be alerted to new developments, and 29% said they use social media to communicate with other professionals. So that's vaguely interesting. Obviously, email is the workhorse next to the reps. And 29%, you know, almost a third, is actually a pretty strong showing for social media for HCPs in that they are so time-starved. This report came out in April, but I only learned about it last week, so there you have it. Better late than never. The next story in mHealth is from Mobi Health News, and we've titled it Digital Weight Loss Support Works Better with In-Person Counseling. So a study out of Finland has shown that there is a modest result for patients seeking to reduce their body weight if they use an online weight loss tool. These patients lost 1.6 of their body mass and kept it off for 24 months. When combined with group cognitive therapy, the number after 24 months increases to 3.4% of body mass. So we can see that the benefit of using an mHealth tool with in-person group cognitive behavioral therapy is more effective. Using the internet tool, of course, was shown better than just counseling alone. Quote from the researchers, in this randomized long-term lifestyle change trial, an internet-based HBCSS, and you'd have to look it up, I forget what it means, was effective in improving weight loss and reduction in waist circumference for up to 2 years, the authors of the study wrote. Interventions using HBCSS had significantly higher success rates regardless of the type of group counseling, CBT or SHG. Again, you got to read the report if you want to know what those acronyms mean. CBT is definitely cognitive behavioral therapy, but I'm not sure what SHG is, compared to counseling alone. In addition, the success rate was also high in participants in the control group who received HBCSS, but no face-to-face counseling. There were some other interesting stories from Mobi Health News. You'd have to go to the wire to actually find the links, but they did an in-depth look at the United States Digital Service at HHS, so that's interesting. Senator and FCC Commissioner propose telehealth pilot. Following the 2016 deal, United Healthcare members are now using Medtronic insulin pumps. And they say that saw fewer avoidable hospital admissions. So that helped that group. The next story is in media, and this is from our friends over at Fierce Pharma. Pharma lags other major industries in digital ad spend. A new media spend report from eMarketer. By the way, the eMarketer report is not available unless you have a subscription. So you can't get the source. However, we got you as close as you can get. So it was highlighted in Fierce Pharma. No link given. The report is obviously behind their paywall. And pharma is shown as a laggard in both digital spend and digital growth. So digital spend as a percentage of budget, from the report we created little charts, and their charts are essentially retail is 21.9%, so 21.9% of retail dollars are spent on digital. Automotive is 12.6%. Financial services is 12.2%. And then because this is a teaser, we have six other industries, we don't know what they are. And then pharma and healthcare is at the bottom of the list at 2.7%. So that's digital spend as a percentage of budget. Then we have digital budget growth. So who's growing their digital share of the pie? And pharma is at the bottom again. Media is 24.9%, entertainment is 23.6%, and computer products are 21.7%. Again, the 600 other industries not shown. And then we've got pharma and healthcare at the bottom at 12.7%. So growing their digital slice of the pie, but not nearly as fast as the other industries, such as, say, media at 24.9%. So pharma is a laggard when it comes to digital, but the industry still knows that it's important. We've got three quotes here from the story itself. While traditional TV spending by pharma and healthcare continues to grow, the report notes, it also points to the fact that digital is becoming more valued by the industry. It quotes Johnson & Johnson executive Sandra Peterson as saying recently that more than 50% of J&J's marketing is now focused on digital consumer engagements. Take that with a grain of salt. We have to remind ourselves that J&J has a huge OTC and CPG component. However, they're really focusing on digital. Another quote, getting those digital display and search ads in front of consumers, mobile is an important conduit for pharma and healthcare. Almost 70% of its ads are now placed on mobile devices. eMarketer said it expects that shift from desktop to mobile ads to continue through at least 2019. So 70% of ads are now sitting on the small screen. We have to keep that in mind when we're creating the landing pages for those ads. Third quote is, regarding the growing area of social media, the report concludes, social is increasingly seen as a way to reach physicians, and it is also being used to engage patients in novel ways. So we all know that social is becoming a large component of pharma digital spend. We see here that the experiments in reaching physicians on the social platforms are paying off, and the companies that are doing that are increasing those tactics and reaching out to physicians. One thing to note is with the ads and info tab now available in Facebook, that should allow you to see what at least some of your competitors are doing on that platform and see if their current ads at least are reaching out to HCPs. Story 4. This is an mHealth story from the Nature Partner Journals of Digital Medicine. Fitbit activity data correlates with overall survival. A study in the Nature Partner Journal in Digital Medicine looked at Fitbit data compared to overall survival of advanced cancer patients. It's a little bit depressing because the overall survival isn't great for these advanced cancer patients, but what it found was a correlation of step counts and survival durations. This data could help oncologists identify patients that might need interventions before they self-identify and show up in the clinic or emergency room. So remember, correlation is not causation, but this data from the Fitbit could help oncologists early on. For example, we're looking at survival probabilities, and if you're lower than 1,000 steps per day on your Fitbit, you're not reaching much past 3 months. If you're 1,000 to 2,000 steps, then you're somewhat better. That group, the mortality wasn't 100%. And if you're over 2,000 steps, you're actually looking good up to 6 months and beyond. So as a metric that shows how well a patient is doing in oncology, the Fitbit actually turns out to be not a bad tool. Story 5. This is in regulatory, and this is from the FDA. Real and fake warning letters. So this is two stories in one. The FDA has issued an untitled notice of violation letter against a company that created a web page to support its investigational drug. The website is interpreted as promotion by the FDA and, obviously, as that's a no-no for investigational products, and the FDA slapped the company with a misbranding of an investigational drug issue. Normally, a letter like this wouldn't be much of an issue, and certainly wouldn't make it into the click wire. We have only 3 letters issued against promotion so far in 2018, and only had 5 in all of 2017. There are 2 sides to this issue for pharma marketers. One, yay, we aren't being slapped by the FDA. Either we're better at creating promotion that fits the FDA's rules, or the FDA has loosened up on their interpretation of their own rules. But two, boo, it's hard to know where the guardrails are when there is so little evidence in the market. And, from Ed, to anyone in the FDA, updated robust guidance documents would be fine too. We don't need more letters, thank you very much. So we're not really looking for more letters, especially against the products on which we work, says Ed. But it sure would be nice to get some clearer guidance to help MRL teams allow pharma to use all of the appropriate digital platforms. So that's the first part of the story. Second part of the story is fake warning letters. In other warning letter news, the FDA is warning of imposters sending fake warning letters to individuals. And how many times can we say warning in one sentence? These seem to be of the same type as your fake tax collector or fake lawsuit calls that you get sometimes from 1-800 numbers. And there is likely some element of extortion to them. Here's a quote from the FDA. The FDA has become aware through its surveillance efforts that instead of receiving the drug products they attempted to purchase from a website or over the phone, consumers are receiving official-looking but fake warning letters. These fake warning letters, purporting to be from the FDA or the FDA and the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, claim the FDA has determined that there are drug violations based on a review of their parcel and their social media accounts. These letters are addressed generally to Sir, Ma'am, but in some instances may include a specific name. The letters also warn consumers that we are still investigating the root of this delivery and necessary legal steps will be taken if we found, sick, out any suspicious activity on your end. So we can see from that quote that the spammers are alive and well in the fake warning letters department. But these are mainly targeted at consumers. Story 6, social media, from MM&M. Twitter potentially deleting tens of millions of suspicious accounts. Twitter is working to remove some of the toughest fake accounts from its system. These are accounts that aren't obviously bots or other computer-generated profiles, which are already removed automatically. And MM&M pegs the number at, quote, tens of millions. This is not a number from Twitter. A quote from the story, our digital ecosystem is being polluted by a growing number of fake user accounts. So Twitter's commitment to cleaning up the digital space should be welcomed wholeheartedly by everyone, from users of the platforms to creators and advertisers, Unilever CMO Keith Weed said. People having an artificially inflated follower count made up of bots and redundant accounts is at best deceiving and at worst fraud. It serves no one and undermines trust in the entire system. So, the other benefit from this type of activity is an improvement in social listening accuracy out of the box before the analysts have done the extensive spam reduction work that most projects require. So this spam reduction, it'll be welcome on Twitter, but we have to remember that work will still be required for forums and other platforms like that. Story 7. This is from research, from PEW Research. Americans confused about health treatments and worried about costs. PEW Research asked Americans what they thought about modern health treatments, and surprisingly, only 48% say they were worth the costs. 51% said they often cause as many issues as they solve. This is a much more divided population than we may have guessed. From Ed, it would be interesting to see how many of each side have a serious health condition. When asked what where the main problems with treatments, cost, complexity, and patient understanding all showed up. So this is a chart from the PEW research folks, and it's got the main questions and how many people agreed with them. So 83% said the cost of treatments makes quality of care unaffordable. So cost is a big issue. 68% said people rely too much on prescription meds that may not be necessary. So overprescribing is perceived as a big issue. 59% said prescription med side effects create as many problems as they solve. So a fairly negative view of pharma on that side. 49% said evaluation of safety / effectiveness of new medical treatments is too slow. So 59% say that the side effects are too high. 49% say that the treatments are not being approved fast enough. 46% say healthcare providers are too quick to order tests or procedures. 44% say new treatments are made available before we fully understand the health effects. So this is in opposition to the evaluation being too slow. So 49% are saying evaluation is too slow. 44% are saying that evaluation is too fast. Then 42% are saying new treatments are so complex that patients cannot make informed decisions. And that's true as the science gets more and more detailed, so it becomes more and more difficult to inform patients about what their options are. There are four other stories from PEW research, and all of them are somewhat interesting. So number one, Americans broadly favor government funding for medical and science research. This is related to confusion, but are in favor of government funding. So that's number one. You can get these links from the ClickWire itself. Number two is public attitudes towards political engagement on social media. So only look at that story if you're a political wonk, because it's kind of depressing. Number three is audio and podcasting fact sheet. So if you're interested in podcasting for your product or your influencers, then take a look at that. And story number four is stories from experts about the impact of digital life. This is more philosophical and not influential in a day-to-day marketer's life. Story 8. Digital, from CNBC. Amazon wants to create HCP Prime. HCPs can prescribe products to patients. Amazon is working with a startup, Zelf, to allow doctors to prescribe packages of products. This ties directly to Amazon's current business model and seems to be separate from any prescription sales plans the e-commerce giant might have. And a quote from the story, here's how the service might work. A patient who has just undergone a replacement knee surgery might go online to their personal page on the hospital's portal site to get online care instructions. Under the pilot, they would also see a recommendation of bundles of goods, like bandages, braces, and over-the-counter meds, which could be shipped to the home the same day via Amazon. All of this could be prescribed into a basket of sorts to the patient by a doctor via the hospital's electronic medical record system. So this system seems to be helping Amazon get closer to sales in hospital without actually being prescription drug sales. This is also research. This one's from eMarketer. And ad sector all about data. So as part of a story about deals in the ad data space, eMarketer included the technologies in which firms are investing. We found this interesting. The top 10 technologies were 57% are investing in big data or analytics, 52% are investing in Internet of Things, 44% are investing in multi-cloud strategy, 43% in AI or machine learning, 34% in virtual reality or augmented reality, 33% in voice recognition, 29% in API monetization, so that'll just be the big guys with the ability to create an API, 28% streaming big data, 28% in blockchain, because who isn't talking about blockchain right now? And 18% in bots, chatbots, and RPAs. And you know what? I don't actually know what an RPA is, but if you look at the Clickwire and jump over to that story, you can probably find out. But bots being the lowest is interesting. Remember, these are not just pharma companies. These are all marketers. Story 9. This one's for social, and it's from Marketing Charts. Social loves itself, which is sort of a tautology. It is true. A measurement of brand love on social media shows that users on those platforms love them. Some consumer brands snuck in as well, but Instagram really stole the show. Now, of course, we have to say here, we've got, you know, serious selection bias, and if you're going to measure brands on social media, then yes, you're going to get the social media platforms first. So the 10 most loved global brands on social media from the Marketing Charts chart is Instagram, number one, at over 246 million impressions. Then YouTube at over 86 million impressions. Then Facebook, 47 million. Then Amazon at 37 million. Google at 30 million. Apple at 28 million. Disney, the first non-technology company, at 22 million. Snapchat at 16 million, remembering that Snapchat has a smaller slice of the demographic. Spotify at 16 million. And the last but not least is Netflix at 12 million on the 10 most loved global brands on social media. Technology and digital products, of course, rule here because they are digital spaces. We looked at the source report from NetBase to see if any pharma or health brands made it into the top 100, and guess what? They didn't. Story 10. This one is to do with email, and it is from Marketo. What to test in your emails? Marketo published a small two-page report about email testing that included the top items by survey. Mobile at the bottom, though? Really? So this is a chart of what marketers are testing in their emails, and it's the top 10, so I'm going to read them out. 72% were testing the subject line. Totally makes sense. It really influences your open rate. 61% tested the message. 50% were testing layout and images. 50% were testing their call to action. 46% were testing the days of the week to send, so timing. 39% were testing time of day to send, again timing. 34% were testing personalization. 32% were testing their landing page after the audience has looked at the email and clicked. 30% are testing their target audience. 26% are testing the from line, a very important component that works in conjunction with the subject line. And 15% were testing mobile layout and images. We were surprised that only 15% were testing mobile layout and images, but we have to remember that a lot of marketers might consider that a done deal at this point and no longer needs to be tested. That would be our interpretation of that low showing. These subjects, these topics that we just read, are heavily modified from the Marketo source. That source has much longer descriptions, but these are essentially correct. Story 11. Social. This one's from Facebook itself. And it is Own the Entire Screen, Instagram Stories Ads. This story is about stories. For anyone who doesn't use Snapchat or Instagram extensively, stories can seem foreign. But for the 400 million people who use Instagram Stories every day, that's June 2018 data, they are a purely visual way to catch up with friends. This visual, full-screen nature of the platform means that ads found there get to take over the entire screen. So then in the wire we have sort of an infographic image. Essentially it talks about the four elements of stories, which is the progression bar, clickable profile photo, swipe or tap for back and forth, and tap and hold to pause. The ads that sit inside of this platform are what the infographic from Facebook is all about. In other Instagram news, the platform is introducing the ability for a profile to solicit questions. The profile can ask for input, and users can add their questions right on the story. The profile can say, ask me questions, and then the users who follow that profile can say, hey, what about your haircut? Hey, you know, how is R&D going? Hey, why are drug prices too high? So it may or may not be a good option for pharma, but it is possible for a profile to ask or solicit questions from their audience. This has been the ClickWire, issue 321, and I'm Brad Einerson. Thanks for listening.